be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
When the time arrived for Elizabeth to have her child, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown his great mercy toward her, and they rejoiced with her. When they came on the eighth day to circumcise the child, they were going to call him Zechariah after his father, but his mother said in reply, "No, he will be called John." But they answered her, "There is no one among your relatives who has this name." So they made signs asking his father what he wished him to be called. He asked for a tablet and wrote, "John is his name." And all were amazed. Immediately his mouth was open, his tongue free, and he spoke, blessing God. Then fear came upon all their neighbors, and all these matters were discussed throughout the hill country of Judea. All who heard these things took them to heart, saying, "What then will this child be? For surely the hand of the Lord was with him." The child grew and became strong in spirit, and he was in the desert until the day of his manifestation to Israel. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
As you all know, throughout the year, except for new solemnities that have to do with Jesus and Mary and doctrines of the church, most every day of the year during the daily liturgies, we commemorate or memorialize some saint. Those people who are called by God to speak the truth to the people of Israel and the world today. Today, we remember and give thanks especially for St. John the Baptist. He was a unique man, very interesting actually. As Father mentioned, he was kind of the bridge between the Old and the New Testament. He was certainly the last of the Old Testament prophets because he spoke and preached the good news of the coming of Jesus Christ. And at the same time, he was the first New Testament preacher because he preached about the presence of Jesus Christ, the appearance of the God who takes away the sins of the world. There are a lot of reasons to remember John. Many people like to remember John because of the strange circumstances surrounding his birth, his parents' old age, the fact that his father was struck dumb until the day of his birth when they called him John, as it was directed by God. And so the birth to Jesus through Elizabeth was a miracle that people like to remember. Some people think that John should remember for the kind of life he lived, the crazy guy out in the desert who wore sackcloth or camel's hair or itchy shirts and ate locusts and wild honey. Other people remember John because of his harsh preaching against the Pharisees, calling them names and curses really. And many think that the most important thing about John was the way he was beheaded by King Herod. That made him famous. All of these things are good reasons to remember John, and there are certainly some others. But I want to set all of those aside today and focus on something that's even more important about John the Baptist. In your bulletin today, you'll see on the front page, there's a picture I asked Janet to put on the front page of a painting. It was painted probably in the mid-1500s. And the focus of the painting is John the Baptist pointing to the crucified Christ with his index finger. I'd like you to try to remember that. So,
John's whole purpose, his calling, was one thing. It wasn't because of the way of his funny birth, or they lived in the desert, or they was born without original sin, or any of those things, which are all, like I say, very important. His most important aspect is that his sole job on earth was to point and witness to Christ. And that is exactly what he did. And that was, because of that, salvation came for you and I. Now, we are also finger pointers. We learn finger pointing from our youth when we get in trouble, break a window, whatever it might be, and we point to somebody. It was his fault. It wasn't my fault. That's what we do. We point fingers. It's the greatest scandals in Congress. Somebody is always pointing fingers at somebody else. Finger pointing, could be say, is our thing. That takes the responsibility off me and puts it on somebody else. They should get in trouble, not me. But we shouldn't feel too bad. We come by that very honestly. When God found Adam in sin in the garden and asked him about it, what did Adam do? Pointed to Eve. It was her fault. She made me eat the fruit. And by the way, you're the one that gave her to me. Pointed to her. Pointed to God. The woman you gave me. It's your fault, God. You made me do it. Eve pointed to the serpent. And from that time on, we love ourselves better than our neighbors. But in a world of finger pointers, and that isn't a new thing for us, in a world of finger pointers comes the witness of John the Baptist, who in the painting pointed only to Jesus. He didn't point to sinners. He didn't point to place blame. He pointed only to Jesus and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." John came into this world for one purpose. As they say today, he had one job to do, and he did it very well. To call people away from the sins by repentance and to faith in Jesus Christ. And so it comes to us now, for it is up to us to take up finger pointing as it would properly be done, and take up the witness of John the Baptist, to witness to Christ, to point Christ out to the world as the one and only Savior of the world, to point to the Lamb of God, the one and only Lamb who takes away the sins of the world. Now, you and I know that Jesus was raised from the dead and ascended into heaven, so we don't point to heaven. We point to the places where Jesus said and promised he would be. We point to the altar where Christ's body and blood are given and where salvation is delivered. We point to the scriptures in our tradition as the authority for our faith and all of our life. We point to the confessional where the whispers of salvation, the whispers of forgiveness are found. It's our job to take up John's calling, to point to Christ and witness to Christ for the world. And in the world today, where we have slowly but surely gotten rid of all the traditional values, we're working on it. There's more need for people like John in the world than there ever has been. So we must point to Christ and witness that our identity is centered on salvation and traditional morals. We must point to Christ and witness that our faith challenges the values of today's secular culture, and that we are willing to risk losing our lives, our jobs, our friends, our family over that faith. We must point to Christ and witness that what we have found in Christ Jesus is real and true and worth living
out to the ultimate consequences. We must point to Christ and witness by striving for personal holiness. And putting that all together, we must point to Christ, as John the Baptist did in that picture. We must point to Christ and witness by glorifying God by how we live our lives. John didn't just preach the message. John had a superpower. John's superpower that he was the message. He lived the message. And because he lived the message, people believed what he said and followed Jesus as a consequence. This is difficult for us to do today. We do, in fact, lose family members, friends, jobs, over our beliefs. That's just the way it is. You want to be Catholic, you've got to witness to the Catholic faith. So that's our calling. Our calling is simply to go in peace and glorify God by how we live our lives.